This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called A Faith That Passes the Test of Life.
You know, most people would probably agree that our world right now is in chaos. These days are unlike any days we've ever had in our lifetime. In fact, in 2,000 years of the church, churches have never been shut down for worship this long of a period for any reason at all. We are being tested in many different ways and many different angles. And these tests that we're facing are not small ones. Governments are being tested. Businesses are being tested. Schools are being tested. Churches are being tested. Families are being tested. And each of us individually are being tested during this season in 2020. Now today, we're in part 23, if you can believe that, 23 of our series through the book of James called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. And today, I want us to look at a faith that passes the tests of life, a faith that passes the tests of life. Many of you have written to me in the past few weeks expressing concerns and questions and even anxiety about the massive changes that appear to be taking place in our society during this very, very unusual year. So in the next few weeks, what I want to do during this series of James, I want to address those issues and answer your questions that you have raised. We're going to do that in the next couple weeks. Now, all of the answers are right here in God's Word, and James, for one reason or another, is the book to look at during this pandemic. Now, to get started looking at these tests of life, we need to return to the very first verses 2 and 3 of the book of James. I want to read it from the Message paraphrase, all right? Let me read you James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. When tests and challenges come to you from all sides, know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. Now, what this tells me is that the true test of your faith is not how high you jump praising the Lord in good times, but rather the test of your faith is how straight you walk in tough times. This is where the true colors of your faith are revealed. And when you have to choose between doing what the Bible says to do or doing what you feel like doing or what our culture tells you to do, that's the greatest test of faith. In Psalm 53, verse 2, it says this: God looks down from heaven on the whole human race to test and see who is acting with understanding. Who's acting with understanding? Important phrase if you want to underline that in your notes. Acting with understanding and truly seeking Him. Now, I want you to notice that God looks to see how wise we are in responding and reacting to all the world around us. And the Bible says that He looks to see whether we're listening to Him or whether we're listening to the culture and the voices all around us. Now, it's my job as pastor to help you do what that verse says, act with understanding, to help you act with understanding in life. Now, a lot of things that you've picked up and things that you've believed from the world are actually dead wrong. And that's why here at Saddleback Church, we base everything we do on the Bible. My goal in this series and in every other message is to help you see your life, see your relationships, and even all of the issues in our cultures that cause you anxiety from a biblical basis and worldview. That's because God's Word is always the truth, and the truth sets you free. But just because you've been saved by Jesus does not automatically mean that you have a biblical worldview. And the reason why you may not have a biblical worldview is because you've spent far more time watching the news than you have in reading the good news of the Bible. Or as I said in the last message, you spend more time on Facebook than getting your face in this book, the book, God's book. So you can be a Christian for years and still not be acting with understanding, acting with biblical basis. You know, I might watch something happen in society, and if I don't know what the Bible says, I might react in a scared way, or I might react in a self-centered way, or I might act in a sinful way, or a scornful way, or a smug way, or even a stupid way. Christians do it all the time. If I'm not basing my behavior on the Bible, I'm going to be wrong every time. The problem is that the Bible often tells me the truth, and that truth upsets my biases. That's why it's a test of faith. And the way you and I react to the daily events in the world reveal the true colors of our faith. Now, not only does God test your faith with circumstances, He also tells us that we can test ourselves too. We can do a self-test. Did you know that? You can test your own faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says this, New Living Translation. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. That's a self-test. To see if your faith is really genuine. Test yourselves. Okay? Now, I want you to use these next few weeks, these next few messages, as a personal checkup to evaluate your faith. Now, let me say this. God can't test your faith with stuff that's already happened. Okay? It's over. But He has to use current events. You can't be tested on things in your past because those can't be changed. They're over. They're done with. And you can't be tested about events in your future because they haven't happened yet. And you're not there until you get there. So God has to use what's happening in the world right now to test your faith. Fortunately for us, there's plenty of current problems happening right now where God can see really how much you trust Him, how much you love Him, how quickly you obey Him when He tells you to do something, and whether or not you act with understanding, you act with biblical understanding. God is watching both your actions and your reactions to see how well you think and speak and feel and act like Jesus. Now, in the days ahead, in the next few sessions, we're going to look at how Jesus wants us to respond to five current issues. These five current issues that are impacting our lives, you've written to me about them, you've asked about them, and every one of them are testing your faith. Now, let me just list for you the five big tests of faith that I see going on in the contemporary environment around us. Okay? Your faith is being tested five ways these days. The first test, of course, is the COVID-19 pandemic. And I call that a viral infirmity test. Viral infirmity test. An infirmity is an illness or a sickness, and a viral infirmity is an illness you get from an invisible virus. That's the first test. Another test is the social instability test. And I'm talking about all the violence and the rioting and all the stuff that we're seeing going on in our cities. And that's upsetting a lot of people. Another test, third test, is the financial insecurity test. And millions of people are facing that one right now because they're out of work. They have no job right now. And nobody knows what the world's economy is going to look like. Another test that's happening right now around the world is the racial inequality test. Is anything really going to change? It's been brought to the forefront by some very unfortunate events. People have been killed. Will it really change anything? That's a test, the racial inequality test. And then another test, and everybody knows about this one, is the political incivility test. Because we're in a political election season, and the divisions are deeper, and people are trash-talking each other like never before. In fact, I think hatred and bitterness is at an all-time high, higher than any other time I've seen in my lifetime. People really are not voting for candidates as much as they're voting against a candidate they don't like. Now, any of these five contemporary circumstances by themselves would test your faith. But when you add them all together, they add up to a giant test of how Christ-like you really are. God is watching how you react to these five things. Do you think? Do you feel? Do you speak? And do you act like Jesus in each of these five areas? Now, we don't have time to cover all five issues in a single message. So today, we're just going to consider the first test, okay? But we'll get to all the others, okay, eventually. Now, here's the first test. God is testing our faith through viral infirmity. That's the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, the viral infirmity. Now, I said earlier, infirmity is just an illness. It's sickness. And a viral infirmity is an illness that you get from a virus. Now, what makes this COVID-19 virus so dangerous is that it's not just like the seasonal flu. There are five unusual characteristics about this COVID-19 that make it a test. First, it's lethal. It's deadly for some people. It can kill you. It's already taken the lives of over 200,000 people in America alone in just 25 weeks. And it's nowhere near the end. So it's serious. It's deadly. Number two, it's what's called a novel virus, which means we have no prior human immunity. We have no vaccine for it. We have no cure for it. They're rushing to do this, but it's a novel virus. Nobody's got the cure or the vaccine. Number three, many of the 26 million people who've already had COVID-19 around the world, many of those people, they had it and they lived, are now reporting long-term damage to their lungs and their heart and their brain. We didn't know this when the pandemic started, and doctors have discovered that the virus can permanently damage a lot of different organs. That makes it a serious test. People are having a harder time breathing, things like that, even after they're over it. Number four, the carriers of the virus can spread it while having no symptoms themselves. Well, that's crazy, okay? So they don't know they've got it, and they think they're healthy, and they don't want to wear a mask. And yet they keep spreading it because they're carrying it and you don't have to have symptoms. And then finally, fifth, the virus can make a comeback. They just discovered that this week, that you can get it more than once. And hospitals now around the world are reporting people getting reinfected a second time. Those five things make this a serious test for this pandemic. Now, when we use the word pandemic, it's a modern term. In the Bible, it's not called a pandemic. In the Bible, the word they use is plague. Plague. And Scripture is filled with stories of one plague or pandemic after another. In fact, the word plague or plagues is mentioned in Scripture over 200 times. Now, I've always found it interesting that thousands of years before science knew anything about germs or bacteria or viruses, nobody knew about that for thousands of years. God gives specific instructions in the Bible on the importance of isolating and quarantining certain diseases. Why did he do that? Because obviously God understands germs and viruses. We didn't. The book of Leviticus, if you want to go read it, is filled with instructions on what kind of illnesses are to be quarantined. This is 3,000 plus years ago, long before, literally thousands of years before anybody invented a microscope. Let me just show you an example. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 21, in the message screen says this: King Uzziah had a contagious skin disease for the rest of his life, and he had to live in quarantine. Yeah, this is 3,000 years ago. He was not permitted to set foot in the temple of God. Why? He had to be quarantined from his disease. So his son, Jotham, managed the royal palace and governed the nation. Now, did you catch that when I read that King Uzziah was prevented from attending worship in the temple because he could infect others? Does that sound familiar? Vaguely familiar? I'm sure Uzziah's in heaven right now sympathizing with all of us who haven't been able to go to a church building, and he's gone, "Friends, I get it. I was forbidden to go to worship in the temple for the rest of my life, and I had to be quarantined." He actually lived in a separate house. Now, just so you know, I thought I'd throw this in here, just so you know that social distancing is not some modern political plot to take away your rights, let me show you a verse written over 3,000 years ago by King David about social distancing with a disease. Psalm 38, verse 11, in the English Standard Version says this: "My friends and companions must keep their distance." Listen, "My friends and companions must keep their distance because of my plague pandemic. Even my relatives must stay far away." Now, that Hebrew word there, plague, literally means an infection. And evidently, David got sick with some kind of contagious illness. And by the way, he wrote Psalm 38 while he was being quarantined, because God had explained this long before people knew about germs or viruses. Psalm 38 was written while being quarantined. So by the way, Psalm 38 might be a good chapter for you to study right now. You might want to write that down. Now, for the rest of this message, I want to answer three questions that you have written to me. These came up over and over again. Here are the questions. When do plagues happen in the Bible? What's the reason for them? Number two, what should we be doing during our plague? And number three, when are we going to be able to worship together again? That's the one everybody wants to know. All right, let's look at these three questions. First, when do plagues happen in the Bible? Well, first, we live on a planet that's broken. It's broken by sin. The Bible says creation groans. Broken by sin, so nothing works perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfect. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Your relationships don't work perfectly. Disease and death and destruction and decay, these are all out there. We don't live in Eden, or we don't live in heaven where things are perfect. But there are many, many different reasons for the plagues or the pandemics in the Bible. And I'm going to encourage you to go study that on your own, because I can't go through all of the different reasons. But well, let me just show you a couple, two or three, to show some of the many possibilities or reasons for plagues. Okay, why don't you write these three down? Number one, God allowed plagues in the Bible, number one, when we ignore God's rules for living. When we ignore God's rules for living. Now, God has given us the owner's manual for life. It's this book. It's the manual for life. When in doubt, read the instructions. And in it, we find all the laws that God established for living a happy, healthy, holy, and productive life. You want to live a happy, healthy, holy, productive life? It's all here. Now, when we follow God's plan, things work out well. But anytime we forget God and we ignore the playbook, then we disobey what God tells us to do, and we whatever and do whatever we please, then things start falling apart in your life. They fall apart physically. They fall apart emotionally. They fall apart financially. They fall apart relationally and every other way. You see, we really only hurt ourselves when we doubt God's goodness and when we disobey what he tells us to do. Now, this happened many, many, many times in the Bible. Every time they'd forget God, turn away from God, they'd go into problems. And one of those problems would often be a pandemic. Psalm 106 says this, verse 14 and 15. The people soon forgot God and what he had done for them. And they wouldn't wait for God's plan. Notice that. They got in a hurry. They forgot God, and then they wouldn't wait for God's plan. Instead, they became greedy, and they let their cravings run wild, all kinds of sexual cravings, food cravings, material cravings. They tested God's patience. So, it says, God gave them what they wanted, but he sent a plague along with it. Hello? What just happened here? They're testing God. They wanted to give in to their wild cravings. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, sexually, morally, physically, monetarily. And it says they forgot God. So God said, I'll just give you what you want. But he sent a plague along with it. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, it means that there are often unwanted consequences to getting everything we want. It's not always a good thing to get everything you want. Having all you want to eat whenever you want to eat it can lead to obesity and diabetes and high blood sugar and a host of other diseases. Having all you want to drink anytime you want to drink it can lead to alcoholism and heart disease and stroke and liver disease and cancer and many, many other illnesses. God gave us very clear guidelines so we would not abuse or misuse or pervert his gift of sex. But the sexual revolution abandoned all of those guidelines in God's word. And what did it happen? It gave us pandemics. The pandemic of AIDS, of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases, the pandemic of broken hearts, the pandemic of broken families. You know, it's widely known. I've talked to a lot of doctors about this. It's widely known in healthcare that a majority of the illnesses people suffer, they say over the majority of people in hospital right now, they're there because it was caused by our own lifestyle choices. It wasn't something out of their control. It was in their control. But they ignored the healthy principles that God teaches in his word. We think we know better. So sometimes there was a plague because people just ignored what God said to do, and then there were consequences to it. But there's another reason. Let me give you a second reason plagues happen in the Bible. It was this. When we allow injustice and inequality. Did you know that? Did you know? This happened in Jeremiah's day. God hates prejudice. God hates injustice. God hates inequality. So he tells the nation of Israel, you guys, you got to set free all of those slaves you've got. Okay? I hate it that you've got people in bondage. You've enslaved people. And he says, you've got to let go of all these slaves. And you know what Israel did? They did it. They let go of all their slaves temporarily. But then they reneged on their promise to God, and they started enslaving people again. This is going on in Jeremiah's time. And that was the final straw for God. He's seen enough of their injustice and treating people inhumanely and without justice. And here's what God tells them in Jeremiah 34, verse 17. God says this: "A short time ago, you repented and you did what was right. You freed your countrymen who've been slaves. You even made a covenant with me about this in my temple, showing dignity to everybody. But he said, but now you've changed your mind and you dishonor me. You have enslaved them again in a new slavery. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do." God is ticked off. I hope you can hear the anger in his voice. "Since you disobeyed me by not giving freedom to all of your countrymen, I'm going to give you some freedom," quote, "I'm going to give you some freedom, the freedom to die by war or plague or famine. And you will be considered a disgrace by the other nations of the world." He said, any nation that keeps people enslaved, keeps people put down, pays them slave wages, he said, you're going to be considered a disgrace by the other nations of the world. Can you hear the anger in God's voice? God hates slavery. He hates it when people are not treated with dignity and when they're deprived of their liberty. Do you know what happened right after God said what I just read to you in Jeremiah? He allowed the Babylonian king, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, to come in with his armies and take over Israel with his armies and destroy, literally flatten, the city of Jerusalem and take most of the nation captive as slaves back to Babylon, where they would be slaves for the next 70 years. Hello? That would cure Israel permanently of two sins, the sin of slavery and the mistreatment of immigrants, which God had been telling them along too. Okay? So he says, you know what? Sometimes in the Bible, there was a plague because people were being treated unequally, with inequality. And he says, look, if you find a nation that's doing that, they're being set up for a plague. Then let me give you one last one, because there are many, many, okay, possibilities. But when leaders sin and disobey God, it often brings a plague on everybody else. When leaders sin personally and disobey God, everybody who's under their care gets hurt. You know, whenever we're tempted to sin, Satan always lies to us, and because he's the father of lies. And he tells us first that nobody's ever going to know. And because nobody ever is ever going to know of the sin, nobody's ever going to get hurt. And he makes you think that because no one else knows about your secret private sin, it's a personal sin, it's a private sin, and nobody's going to get hurt. But while some sins may be a secret, the effects of them are not.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith study kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit, a six-session DVD and workbook, as our way of saying thanks. Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.